our skills at work for a very busy life.
Absolutely. And yeah, just kind of the little description I read about modern pioneering, you know, on Amazon seemed like it was a bit more of a branch out, you know, talking about, you know, canning vegetables mm-hmm. and, you know, sure. home decor things sure. And all that kind of stuff. So can you just maybe talk a little bit about, like, you know, is there an end goal in this? You know, do you intend to, you know, try and change the perspective of, you know, female Americans in terms of hunting and gathering and self-sufficiency? Or are you just enjoying the ride? Because, you know, that's a perfectly fine answer, too.
Well, I'm sort of more about show by doing rather than telling. And sure. so I've seen that the reason why I went on this work is because I live that life. And so people want that. If people want what you have, then they're going to want to learn it. And versus just sort of preaching to people about why they should be doing this and why they should be doing that, I think that it's like people are overwhelmed. They don't have a lot of time. And so it needs to inspire them. It needs to seem like something that it's aspirational, but also really accessible. Mm-hmm. And so for me, all of these products in the book were things that would save people money, would not take them a lot of time, would also be about sort of upcycling. So, you know, like you can turn, you know, your glass bottles into drinking glasses. And it's actually really simple. Or you can take a mason jar and turn it into a lantern. Or you can spray paint it and have a great holiday, you know, set of silver holiday decorating vases. And it's sort of just this idea of learning how to do more with less, learning how to use your hands in the process, and having fun in the process, being stylish still. You don't have to be a man or dress like a man or act like a man to do these outdoorsy things, I always say to people. If you want to go build your own planter box, go do it in a mini skirt. You can do that. And I think that that's the whole point, is about making it work for who you are, because that's the only way it becomes accessible to people. So my goal is really to just live my life and show by doing, but also be able to give people ways to access that life as well in ways that work for them, whether it's going on one of my adventure getaways, or doing the products in my book or following my website, or learning from my, you know, the things I post on my Facebook page. It's, you know, everyone's going to have their own roadmap, and make it work for who they are and what their lives are like in that moment.
Sure, yeah, and ultimately giving them, you know, an opportunity to do something that they probably would never get to do,
yeah.
you know, if they're in urban Chicago
yeah.
or whatever it may be.
And see how empowering it is for them. I mean, their eyes light up in a way. They leave my adventure getaways a completely different person. I mean, there's tears of joy and happiness, and, like, they literally said, you know, I feel taller. And they have a sort of Amazonian look in their eyes, which is exciting.
Sure. And you've gotten to travel a lot around to get to do these. Do you have any favorite destinations that you've gone on?
I have traveled a lot. That's why I enjoy my own house lately. You go on vacation, I'm like, my house.
Understandable.
But, you know, I think in terms of location, it's always about the people you're with in those moments. I've been really blessed to have such amazing experiences and people, the friendships I've made in these trips, especially. I just did one a couple weeks ago in Virginia in the Blue Ridge Mountains, which was really beautiful. Before that, I did one in Montana, and I have some others coming up. I've been in England, which has been really special. You know, the British have a wonderful perspective on game meat. You can go to one of their farmers market and buy, you know, a pheasant or a rabbit with all of the feathers intact, and they'll tell you the woods that it was hunted from, and you can take it home and eat it for Thanksgiving dinner. I wish we did that here. Unfortunately, we're a little too, our food culture is a little too neutered. So I don't know that I have a favorite. I think that maybe the first place I learned to hunt is in, so it has a special place in my heart. It's in the Mississippi River in Arkansas in the Delta. I learned to hunt there with the commissioner of Fish and Game in Arkansas. He's a great mentor to me. And so I think that still has it's sort of my favorite spot to go. It's sort of my place.
Sure. The beginning of it all.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, let me ask you, what are some of your role models, you know, whether it's in the hunting outdoors world or writers or, you know, personal family members, friends, do you have any mm-hmm. role models?
That's a good question. I think in terms of role models, I always look to older women, much older women. I think the women of my grandparents' generation really inspire me, because they were fearless. And I think that there's a sense that, you know, women of that age were sort of very demure and they were just housewives, but they lived in a very trying time, and trying economic times in a way are the great equalizer, and they forced people to get creative and to endure. And so the women that I am most inspired by and that I have tremendous respect for all are the women who I grew up, they raised me in part. They taught me a love of food. They taught me an understanding of the land, and they didn't need a lot. You know, they didn't need the latest Louis Vuitton bag, which I have one. I'm not saying that I don't, and I support that. But do you know what I mean? They had this sense of that wasn't even in their vernacular. It was like they could grasp satisfaction from sort of simpler, more pure, more sort of fundamental things, like family and fellowship and all of that. So I think those are probably the types of people that inspire me. And whenever I get to meet older women, and sometimes I get to meet them on my adventure getaways, that's sort of, those are who I look at. And I think this is who I want to be when I grow up.
No, I 100% agree. I had a grandmother who killed chickens, and
yeah.
You know, I have another grandmother who had five daughters, four
yeah.
in diapers at one time, and
sure.
cloth diapers, and they needed to be hand washed and all
yeah.
that. I agree that, my grandmothers are very easily my role models as well. And
sure.
you're exactly right in that sentiment. Let me flip that around now and ask you, how do you feel about being a role model? Whether it's to young women or to these people who join you on your excursions, how does that make you feel?
That's a really good question, actually. It's something I've been thinking a lot about lately, because I didn't get into this expecting to become one. But I get a lot of emails and especially from young girls and their parents and their uncles. And I suddenly feel this tremendous responsibility. And I think that young women don't have a lot of great role models right now in this world. And so it's something that I take very seriously, and that's become really important to me. Like, how can I give them something to aspire to in terms of their goals in life, and how can I make them feel empowered, or make them feel a little more fearless? I think that this book is almost called The Fearless Girl's Guide. And I think it's just that concept of, how do we get that Amazonian look in our eyes in small ways? I think that's a more empowered way to live. And so I thought more and more about doing things with younger girls as well, because I think ultimately I was very lucky to have really strong women in my life. And I went to all women's high school and college, and I took a lot from that. And the joke is that I ended up in very male professions, from
sure.
banking to professional kitchens to the world of hunting. But I think in a way, being in all women's environments and having strong women in my life has actually prepared me to succeed in that. So
absolutely.
Because you can be distinctly female and still be in that world, you don't have to become a man in order to be in that world. And I think that's the sort of defining line.
Sure, absolutely. I don't remember where I read it or who told me, but somebody once made the obvious connection with the need for land conservation, especially here in America. We're losing wetlands, and relating that directly to culture conservation. This
mm-hmm.
The hunting and gathering movement or
mm-hmm.
ideals are quickly being lost
mm-hmm.
in the internet, and kids looking at 30 screens all day and things like that. So that I remember that being something that resonated with me, and it's certainly important, and I commend you for doing your part. And it's great to hear too that you're taking this position of yours seriously, because I think you do have some responsibilities now, and it's really cool to hear that you've got your head wrapped around it, right? Meaningful.
Thanks.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So kind of along those same lines, do you have kind of a go-to, spiel you give young women, if you're trying to convince them to at least, consider this world as something that should be important to them?
Someone told me the other day, I was a producer, HBO came to film my last adventure getaway, and it was a producer who said to me that he was expecting me to be a lot more alpha in terms of how I told people what to do, and a lot more sort of instructing them. And I think that doesn't work with women. I think that, I just think that my style and the way that I approach this is really showing, not telling. And I give them instruction and I give them guidance, but I think that people want to be inspired, but they want to find a path that is a reflection of who they are, not sort of become an emulation of someone else. And so I don't have a spiel, I don't have a speech for them, but it really is about making sure you're not fitting yourself into a box that's smaller than you normally occupy. And I think women have a tendency to do that. Women have a tendency to self-edit. We're perfectionists. We have a sense that if we apologize for shortcomings that we've made up in our own mind that don't actually exist. And we have this feeling that if we're not going to be great at something the first time, then we can't do it. We can't even try it. And so my goal is to create a safe space for them to try things, to fail, to succeed, to laugh really hard in the process, to not take themselves too seriously, because women are very hard on themselves. They're their own worst critics. And so I don't need to be barking in their ear telling them more things that they're doing right or wrong. I need to give them an environment in which they can experiment and try to step out of their comfort zone in a way that's exciting and enthralling. And I think that feeling of being excited and enthralled when you do step outside your comfort zone, it's addictive. And that's all that I need to do is to give them that and encourage.